The answer lies with the Dude Wait What podcast. Hadouken!
And welcome to the Dude Wait What podcast, episode 20. And today it's just going to be me, Toya, and Sean. Sean, you there?
Hello. Yeah, I'm here.
And we happen to have with us today a very special guest. Known as a luminary in voice acting circles, he's done a lot of work in anime. He's probably best known for his voice of Gohan on Dragon Ball Z. He's also done voice work for Naruto, Bleach, and currently he's doing some voice work in video games for stuff like Super Street Fighter 4, where he is the voice of Ryu. Please give a warm welcome to our special guest, Mr. Kyle Hebert.
Well, hello, hello, hello.
Mr. Hebert, thank you very much for appearing on our show. We are very much big fans of your work here on the Dude Wait What podcast.
Thank you very much, guys. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, to get started from the beginning, we understand that your beginning in broadcasting, pretty much, was working for, I believe, Radio Disney. Was that your first start in voice acting?
Yeah, it actually kind of was. It was owned by ABC Radio at the time, and it was a network in Dallas. I started there as an intern in 1991, got a degree in radio, TV, film, and got an internship and stayed at ABC Radio Networks and doing all sorts of stuff, you know, top 40 radio, big band, heavy metal, and then ultimately Radio Disney format started in 1996, and I crossed over from, you know, introing Metallica records to introing Hanson and the Spice Girls and all that pop stuff.
I'm sure that was an easy transition to make.
It was for me because my DJ style was all over the place. I had characters that I would do, and I got to write, produce, and do radio dramas and everything for Radio Disney. It was a tremendous amount of fun for me. I got to practice my chops and everything.
What was the name that you went under when you were at Radio Disney?
Radio Disney, I actually ported my name over from the heavy metal format, which was Z-Rock, and my air name was Squeege.
Oh, Lord. My nieces used to listen to Radio Disney. I've heard you on there.
Oh, no. Wow. I feel old. Yeah, I've met a lot of fans across the country and everything. It says, dude, I used to listen to you. It's like, no way.
Well, don't worry. I am probably the I am the oldest of our podcast.
That rocks.
So, does it blow people's minds when they realize that DJ Squeege is Gohan, aka Ryu?
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, it seems like, wow, it's a small world, right? You know, I had two things I wanted to do since I was a kid. You know, get on the radio, be a DJ. And, you know, I pretty much got that bug out of my system for the most part. Because since Radio Disney is a nationwide product, so I got to broadcast from coast to coast and have a zany show filled with sound effects and character voices and me interacting with myself pre-recorded and this, that, and the other. And yeah, it's pretty wild. And then, of course, crossing over from that, using that as my platform to say, okay, that's my acting background, guys. A lot of voice actors come from the stage, and I was always too shy. So getting into radio, I was always in a studio by myself with a pair of headphones and a microphone, and I was able to kind of break out of the shy shell and just really, really have a lot of fun with it. Crossed over and started at Funimation in 2000 with Dragon Ball Z, and it all kind of spiraled from there.
Awesome. So, okay, you've done radio, you've done anime voices, you've done video game voices. How are those three different from each other?
Well, anime is obviously you have the product, it's already done. The animation is finished. So it's a matter of not only acting, but you have kind of constricted acting, mm-hmm. which leads to kind of stilted acting or wooden acting in the old school dubs because of lip sync. So we're doing this great juggling act where we're doing a character voice, we're acting, we're taking direction, and we're matching lip sync all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Video games if it's a Japanese game, we tend to match, instead of matching lip sync, we're matching timing, because the animation is currently being done in Japan. We have no frame of reference visually to go on. Mm-hmm. So a Japanese game will have the Japanese audio files and we'll preview them in Japanese like we would footage in anime. We'll watch the line in Japanese first so we can hear the context, how loud or soft it needs to be. And then we do our take. Mm-hmm. And then we adjust from there. The director will say, okay, well, do it faster or do it slower, more like this and whatnot. And we don't get to study this stuff ahead of time. We don't get to practice. We don't get our scripts. We don't get to watch episodes weeks in advance or anything, because time is money. We're only paid for our session. So we're relying on the director to tell us what we absolutely essentially need to know about the project. We're told in bullet points. It's like, this is going on. Here's how your character fits into us. You know, this is his mood. This is, you know, this, that, and the other. And then, bam, you're running.
Now, when you're doing the video game voices, I assume for something like Street Fighter, you have to do like several takes of like grunts and then like several different, like there's like stock sounds, right? It's like a bank of sounds you're creating.
Absolutely, with video games, especially fighting or, you know, the Call of Duties of the world, all the RPG stuff with lots of shouting and everything. They are merciful for the voice actors, and they save all the fight reaction stuff till the end of the session. So they do the dialogue cutscene stuff first. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to blow your voice out, right? Because you do a lot of screaming, Hadouken!
Oh, you just made my week right there.
Yes.
It'll tear your throat apart. You want to try and be preventative as possible and drink a lot of hot tea and have some throat drops ready to go, because you're going to be nursing some sore vocal cords. But you know, at the end of the day, you're getting paid to have fun, right? And you get to like, wow, I get to voice a character that I can play as in a game, and that's like the biggest rush I can have as an actor.
So you've come home nights of doing voice recording and just like almost like coughing up blood almost because of your throat being raw, right?
It feels like it. I've never actually coughed up blood, but my voice has been so shred from screaming for 2 hours straight on various games like Wolfenstein and Watchmen, and especially Street Fighter, where it's just wall to wall, you know, all that stuff. And you're just ragged and you're shot for the next day, which can be problematic sometimes, because as an actor, it's like, oh, we're scheduled to work on this show or this project on this day. And then the next day, you're working on this show. Well, what if you blow your voice out on day one? And then suddenly you got to call the studio the next day and reschedule. It's like, my voice is shot. That exactly happened to me. I did a video game, and the next day I had to do Kiba for Naruto. And the engineer said, dude, your voice is shot. We're just going to have to scrap this session and just have you come back.
Oh, that's
wow. It makes me nervous. I have a very strong work ethic, so I'm like, oh, I feel bad. And then there's production deadlines, especially with shows that are broadcast. And Naruto's on Disney XD nowadays, and you know, Bleach on Adult Swim, so they're under a time crunch a lot of times.
Well, let me ask you something. If they don't make the time crunch, do they have like an understudy ready to take your place or something if that happens?
Well, hopefully not. I mean, once in a blue moon, if it's a bit part voice, just a small quick reaction, they'll have an actor on hand maybe do their best voice match. I've done that a few times for other characters. Like I said, okay, well, we couldn't get so-and-so in. He's on vacation for a week, and we have to get this done by Wednesday. You know, go ahead and let's see if you can voice match it.
Right.
And we'll do that. So, you know, regardless of the size of characters, all voice actors, you know, I did some bit parts on Street Fighter, even though I did a main role.
Oh, did you?
I forget who. I think I was maybe a bartender or something in a cutscene.
Okay. Yeah, I think I know exactly what you're talking about, strangely enough.
There's all this sort of stuff. And guys like me with a wide range of voices get called in to do a lot of background stuff, because honestly, it saves them money. You know, why hire 10 actors when you can hire one actor who can do 10 voices?
Right. Well, I was taking a look at your IMDb profile, and I mean, especially the video game stuff, you've done additional voices for Final Fantasy XIII. You've done for Ace Combat 6. I'm willing to bet at this point I can just grab a handful of DVDs off my shelf and find at least 6 things you've been in at this point.
You probably can, and that's the funny thing. You get to a point as a voice actor where your resume is so padded that you forget, you know, which way is up and what show you're on and everything. And a lot of times fans will come to me on Facebook or meet me at a con and they'll say, I loved you in this game. It's like, I'm in that game? I am? Really? Sometimes, you know, because it's been months, or in the case of some games, years. You know, Street Fighter took about a year and a half before it came out. I was under a gag order. You know, these game companies are very hush-hush about everything. You sign a NDA, non-disclosure agreement, for a lot of this stuff. So I can't talk about Fight Club.
did he just refer Street Fighter to Fight Club?
I'm not going to knock the reference.
Me neither.
No, it's the coolest Fight Club, of course.
Actually,
hey,
wherever
Fight Club can you actually throw energy balls across the screen?
I know, right? And getting to voice an iconic character like Ryu is amazing. And then I am a gamer, but I'm more of a casual gamer because I just suck at games, especially Street Fighter, because that requires strategy and remembering combos, and I just blow at that. I'm so much better at Soul Calibur. I can button mash with the best of them. But
you've just made Toya cry.
Oh, I'm so sorry. But yeah, I played fans on Xbox and PS3 as Ryu, saying, you know, you want to kick my ass, go for it, because I suck. You know, Ryu is a strong character, but I'm terrible at this game.
You're breaking my illusions. You're breaking my illusions.
I know, right? Yeah, and there's a lot of illusions we got to get out there. Voice actors don't necessarily know the product that they're on. We certainly don't look how we sound. You know, I'm this big bald guy, and here I am voicing big buff Ryu, or sometimes teenage characters on Naruto, Dragon Ball Z, and then guys that are polar opposites of our personalities, like Aizen on Bleach.
Hey, can I ask a real quick question? As we were talking about the Street Fighter stuff as well, we had Street Fighter 4 come out, and then about a year after that, we had Super Street Fighter 4. Now, I know there's some additional voices in that. Did they need to call you back into the studio to revoice any parts for Super?
Yeah. I had about an hour-long session where I added some more cutscene stuff, and I think there may be even more stuff on the horizon, hopefully. I know there's some more coming next year. I know there's Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I'm hoping I can be on that. I know that this past week you had the Tekken X, I guess, you know, Street Fighter.
They used the Japanese voices for that, so I was a little bummed to not hear, you know, the awesome Kai Lebert voice coming out of Ryu. But, you know, it'll be there. Hopefully there's an English option.
Well, fingers crossed. We'll see that happen. The game is obviously not going to be released for a long time, and so there's plenty of time to get an English adaptation in there. But there's no guarantee. Hey. You know, Tatsunoko vs. Capcom came out, and here I was all ready to go into the booth, and they go, "Oh, sorry, there's no dub." It's like, what?
We're gonna start a Facebook petition. We're gonna get Kyle Hebert into Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and Tekken X Street Fighter X Tekken and Tekken X Street Fighter.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I don't see a problem with Capcom greenlighting something that's going to sell millions of copies. Obviously, Street Fighter is a huge property. Tatsunoko was kind of an odd thing because it had all these different properties from Japan owned by different companies, and you know it didn't stand to make very much money as it was. So I understand their reasoning, but with something as huge as Marvel vs. Capcom or this new Tekken crossover, it's huge. It's going to sell like gangbusters. So I'm just, you know, fingers crossed. I'll get that call. I'll get to march right into the studio and blow my voice out again for a nice paycheck.
Well, what is going to be nice is that if you do get called in for Marvel vs. Capcom 3, you're going to be working with an ex-Street Fighter, several ex-Street Fighter people on that. One of whom notably, Ruben Langdon, who played Ken in Street Fighter 4, is going to be playing Dante in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. So, you know, I mean, I know the voice actors don't get to meet each other all the time, but I mean, it's nice to have those two voices in the game at least.
Yeah, absolutely. And I met Ruben at the Street Fighter 4 release party. And I haven't had to spend much time with him, but I know he goes to conventions and things. And, you know, he makes his living not as a voice actor, but as a motion capture actor. You know, he worked on James Cameron's Avatar, and he's always doing motion capture for video game stuff. And I think that's a fascinating new aspect. A lot of my compadres in voice acting are now doing mocap for games.
So we got
O'Brien, Stuart Freeman.
Are we ever going to see you like throwing Hadoukens in the suit with the ping pong balls on it?
Wow, I don't know. if he lets himself go, I don't know. I'm thinking that everyone doing mocap is like super, super skinny. So maybe if I drop some weight, I don't know. We'll see. I would love to do that. You know, getting to do motion capture for a character that you also voice act for, I think, you know, obviously with my friends doing this, that I think gaming companies are becoming hip to that. It's like, let's get the actor more involved in the process.
And
that's a separate paycheck right there, and a bigger one, I've heard.
Yeah, because they also did that with movies now. I mean, they did it with Beowulf and Monster House.
Right. And, of course, Avatar, which I would love to see a version of Avatar that is nothing but all of them wearing the ping pong ball, you know, skin-tight suits. It's like, and it's a big, you know, green screen stage. It's like, maybe, wow, this is so amazing looking.
Maybe for the 10th anniversary release of the DVD or something, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. And it's amazing how you see the state of technology for games and everything. You know, games are the new Hollywood.
Yeah.
All the cutscenes and everything. You know, a game like Metal Gear Solid 4 that I like to, you know, teasingly call a movie with occasional gameplay. You know?
Yeah, I actually met Paul Eating from who does the voice for the Colonel in the Metal Gear Solid games.
Nice.
I met him at BotCon.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, because he was also a voice actor on the original G1 Transformers as the voice of Perceptor.
I'm hoping that I will get to be a Transformer at some point. I've gotten to try out for them. I tried out for War for Cybertron, and a lot of my voice acting peers got to be on that game. I did not, which I'm very sad about. But
oh, man.
There's a new show called Transformers Prime. It's all CG. It looks awesome. I hope I get to try out for that.
That'd be great. Although I will say it would be nice to have Kyle Ebert as the voice of Bumblebee. That would just rock my world right there.
Well, as of right now, if you get War for Cybertron, you'll hear Johnny Young Bosch. So you get Ichigo as
and he does a very good job. I actually like his voice as Bumblebee, but I'm sort of now intrigued to hear what, you know, to think and to imagine what your voice might have been like as Bumblebee in that game.
Yeah, I know. I've tried out for Transformers multiple times, and just a matter of time. I'm not going anywhere. I love voice acting, no matter what it is. If I'm going and voicing, you know, Janitor B or Demon A or, you know, a big character, it's just a chance to go in the booth, have fun, and get paid to have fun. I love this. I love this job.
So you've tried out for Transformers multiple times. Would you consider yourself something of a Transformers fan?
I am, and again, a casual fan. I actually, you know, because I'm 41, so I remember I was in high school when Transformers first came out, and I didn't get it. I didn't really care for it. I thought, it's just cheesy. Mm-hmm. And then it started catching on, like, the late 90s, early 2000s with the resurgence of, you know, retro, and then all the comic books started hitting. It's like, hey, this is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And then I started watching the show and appreciating it, and I actually really enjoy the first Transformers movie a lot. Call me crazy. I love Optimus Prime, and that Peter Cullen could just read a phone book and sound amazing. I
mean, Oh yeah. And if you ever get a chance to meet him, just his presence alone is just like awe-inspiring.
Yeah, I know. I mean, can you imagine Peter Cullen ordering something at McDonald's? It's like,
I could just picture the guy at the drive-thru. Sir, Optimus Prime just ordered a Big Mac. What do I do?
I like an Optimus Prime rib.
Oh my god! Oh, that's brilliant.
That is awesome. Okay. Yeah, because me and Toya, we're both huge Transformers fan. Toya has a nice collection for where he lives. Not knocking you, Toya.
Yeah.
I have a decent size collection of almost about 5,000 or 500 to 1,000 figures. Toya, would you say?
Just about. It's getting up there. And, you know, these toys have voice chips in them, so, you know, you could always try out for some of the voices for the toys as well, you know.
I am certainly all about that. You know, unfortunately, as an actor, you don't get to choose what you try out for, but it's advantageous to have an agent on your side that does have access to those sort of things. So I'm very thankful that I've got to read for, and I never forget this. I always stay humble about it. It's like, I'm living where at least I have the opportunity to read for major projects like Transformers and all the Marvel stuff and Batman and you know, whatever it is. You know, I've tried out for all the big games that have come out. And, yeah, Final Fantasy 13, that was the easiest paycheck I ever made. I mean, I recorded for maybe 10 minutes tops doing a couple of bit part soldiers that you have to kill in the opening sequence. And they're like, ching! And then I didn't have to blow my voice out. It was great.
I'm going to have to play that again and listen for your voice in the opening scenes now. Now you just got me curious.
Something in the lower register, I think. I was down here doing something.
Yeah, that narrows
so,
it down.
So basically your line was,
message for you, sir.
Monty Python reference, this man has just earned another 500 bonus points.
Man, he's racking up the... I don't have big enough prizes for him!
Here's the thing. We've talked a lot about studio recording. Do you at all have like any kind of recording set up in your home as well?
I do. I'm talking to you on a Marshall MXL 2003, which is a mere $170 on Amazon with free shipping and a free shock mount. Other than that, I edit on Audacity, and I do almost all of my auditions from home.
So basically, you're saying shameless plug, shameless.
I don't know about shameless. I mean, I'm not getting any kickbacks from it. I had to buy the mic, but but I do stress the importance for anyone interested in voice acting that, you know, with the advent of the internet age, that it's very, very important. And my agency has a lot of everyone on staff in the talent pool to be able to record e-auditions, as we call them, electronic auditions that you just record as an MP3, send it to the agent, and you'll fire it off within a 24-hour period, sometimes 12-hour period.
Well,
you get crazy, but, you know, I love it.
You've been in the industry long enough to know, though, but do you think that that's really changed how the voice acting industry works, that whole e-audition thing?
I think it's making it more possible, you know, depending on the type of project it is. Obviously, with cartoons and anime, you physically need to be there for the session. But with the advent of the internet, projects can literally be done in someone's home in the middle of Egypt or in Antarctica. You know, if they have the studio set up for it, a nice digital phone patch or something, or even just a decent, you know, sub-$500 setup, a little mixer board and everything, and some editing software. Yeah, why not? They can, you know, record audiobooks, promos. That guy, Don LaFontaine, who did, you know, In a World, One Man, you know, he was legendary.
Oh, we miss
voice
him.
Of guy. Oh, we definitely miss. Rest in peace, Don.
Yeah, but he actually lived here in Florida.
Yeah, he worked from home. He used to be, you know, shuffled around by a limousine and go record, you know, driven from studio to studio. And then, you know, he was able to, you know, of course, he's a multi-millionaire. He could have this swanky home setup with a fancy mic and be able to just record from home in his jammies. You know, why not, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sean, you wanted to ask Mr. Hebert something?
Hello?
Sean? Yeah, yes. Sean, you there?
Yeah, my Skype just glitched for a second. I have a question for you. Do you find it more comfortable recording from home or going to a huge studio?
It's way more convenient to do it at home. And I know a lot of actors are a little skittish sometimes about this thing called self-directing. Because obviously if you're recording from home, you don't have any notes other than what's on the script as a guide. It's like, well, do I need to make this sound gruff and deep? And it's like, well, how do I know if I'm on task or not? I know of some actors who prefer to go into the agency or go to the studio in person and do that. And some clients do require that. It's like, okay, well, I know you have the ability to record from home, but we really want to direct you ourselves. You know, we want, you know, or maybe the material in the script is too confidential. They don't want to leak out or whatever. So sometimes I'm forced to, you know, I got to go to the studio. But again, the option with my agent is, you know, I get to record almost everything from home as an audition, and they say, you know, you do great work. I don't book a lot of things, unfortunately. It's very, very competitive, but I am reading for projects several times a day, and that's a lot more than other actors can say. It's like, man, I'm not going out enough. It's like, well, I'm not booking a lot, but at least I'm having that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm all about saving, you know, gas and convenience from schlepping across town when I can just open up a Word document, open up my Audacity recording program, or if you're a Mac person, open GarageBand, and then boom, hit record, edit, and send. Boom, it's done.
Well, given those differences, what do you think about the difference in the general level of fan recognition between voice actors and traditional actors?
Well, I know that voice actor recognition, while it seems to be on an insane level at a convention, mm-hmm. it's really a niche world. You know, outside of the convention scene, we're just regular people, and we're just regular people anyway. You know, I mean, we have bills, we have drama, we have our own lives to contend with, and obviously it can be a very depressing, bleak thing as an actor to deal with the fact that, you know, you love doing what you do, but you don't get to do it often enough to really stay on top of your bills. Mm-hmm. And, there's that harsh reality, but you know, a nice perk of going to conventions is like I can feel like a rock star for a weekend and forget that I'm in major debt and behind on bills and everything. It's like, oh my God, you're the voice of so-and-so. And you know, that's very, very humbling and very, very flattering. I love meeting the fans and, you know, signing autographs, shaking hands, hugging and taking pictures and whatnot. And it's just a great reminder that, you know, I love what I do and I'm glad that I can make a difference in people's lives. If it's just putting a smile on their face or giving them some level of entertainment on a video game or a show or whatnot, it's what I strive to do ever since I was little.
Well, okay, let's play some Inside the Actor's Studio now. We're going to ask you some kind of offbeat, kind of silly questions now.
Can I ask the first one?
Sure, go ahead.
You've done voices for all forms of media. What is the strangest line you have ever, ever recorded that you can remember?
I think the strangest line was from Dragon Ball Z, mm-hmm. and it was actually written on the script, and I was warned ahead of time by Chris Sabat, who directed, that he said, there's no way in hell this is even going to make it on the uncut version, but we'll go ahead and record it because that's what's written. And it was a scene with the Great Saiyan Man, where Videl is fighting with him. She doesn't, you know, she's not with him yet. She's just like, oh my God, you're a bad guy. I want to take you down. And she's fighting him and she wraps her legs around his head. And he goes, hey, I'm a superhero, not a gynecologist.
Wow.
I said, is this really the line? It's like, well, we'll record it, but it's not going to make it. It's like, okay. I forget what the actual line ended up being, but.
We should also point out for people listening that Chris Sabat is also the voice of Vegeta in the Dragon Ball Z series.
Yes, and is currently Vegeta and Piccolo and directing Dragon Ball Z Kai on Nicktoons.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that is definitely one of the strangest lines I've ever heard somebody being asked to record. Yes. Well, we already answered one of the other questions, which is asking you, do you ever play the games you've acted in? And got my ideal shattered on that one. Here's another question for you. What's a role you'd love to play that you haven't played yet?
Anything that I've auditioned for and didn't book, honestly. I mean, every actor wants to get everything that they can. I mean, I want more big roles. I get a lot of small ones, but I would love to get main roles, something. That's just the actor conceit, I guess. I don't want to direct one day. But no, seriously, I mean, I'm very, very fortunate to have my name attached to such awesome big properties, and I hope to, you know, continue the momentum. I would love, my goal, you know, I moved out here to do cartoon voices, and I'm getting to do this awesome side thing is, you know, anime and video games that I didn't anticipate. It's just a huge, huge side benefit. But, I mean, I would love to be the next SpongeBob, the next big pop culture animated sensation. I want to be on a Pixar movie. I want to just whatever it is that lies ahead in the future.
Well, man, given the way your resume looks, I'm pretty sure that's not too far away. Sean, you want to take the next question?
The next question, which is, oh, yes, it's the one I wanted to ask, isn't it?
Question number 9. It's on our list, I believe. Yeah.
Your characters from Dragon Ball Z are known for screaming for epically long episodes, like 5 episodes long of screaming because they're charging up. What is your best scream-related memory?
Well, I had 5 Kamehameha in one episode. And
oh, my.
I passed out.
Oh, man.
It's not necessarily airtight in the studio, but there's no air circulating in there because, obviously, an air conditioner is going to make noise. The mic would pick that up, so it's dead silent in the recording booth. Mm-hmm. So when you're screaming full on, loud and long, all that air is exiting your body, and you feel lightheaded. And other actors, I think Sean Schimmel, I think Justin Cook, Eric Bale, have all passed out before from these long power-up yells. And I felt dizzy. I was very, very close to passing out.
So that proves the true power of the Kamehameha.
It does. And, you know, it's also the power of editing. Because one of the screams was so long that I had to they just hit record. I screamed as long as I could. They hit stop, took a deep breath. They hit record again, scream as long as I could again. And I did that several times. And then they just, you know, meshed it all together into one long scream. And it still wasn't long enough.
Oh, my. Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
There's some reverb on there and the sound effects and the music. And it's like, it's insane.
Wow. So, okay, here's the $65,000 question. Who would win in a fight, Gohan or Ryu?
Wow. Considering a Hadouken and a Kamehameha are basically the same move, I don't know. I think I'm going to go with Gohan on this one because, you know, until Boo came along and absorbed him, he was the strongest creature in the universe, I think, at that
point. Yeah.
Going mystic, I mean, yeah, I think that Ryu could hold his own for quite some time, but the Saiyan blood coursing through Gohan, I think, would give him a slight edge.
You know what I'm loving here right now? I'm loving that you're taking this so seriously. That's amazing. And Sean, I think you want to ask the bonus question?
Yes. Well, you're our first voice actor we have, and we've decided that this is going to be the one question we ask them all. It's going to be the last question just for comedic value, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite bacon recipe?
Favorite bacon recipe? Gosh. Well, I love bacon. The more fat on there, the better, because the fat on the bacon is the best part. I think I haven't had my favorite recipe yet because I'm intrigued to try maple and bacon donuts.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Oh, I just had to reel a bit from the thought of that. Oh, my God.
Wait. Actually, Toya sent me a link one time on Twitter of a maple and bacon flavored ice cream.
Yeah, you would have liked that. I'm just like, ugh. Oh, my God.
Dude.
Bacon ice cream. How do you get to that point? Man.
You just do. It makes everything better. It just does.
Yeah, you throw bacon on a cheeseburger, it's epic.
Great. I've now had a bacon conversation with Ryu from Street Fighter. My life is now complete. Oh,
well, we did have a friend of ours in one conversation put us to a picture of a guy who made a beer mug out of bacon and put beer in it.
Okay, stop. Just stop right there. All right, so this has been our time with Mr. Kyle Hebert. We'd like to thank you very much for coming on our show, sir.
My pleasure.
Remember, and where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at kylehebert.com, and if you're doing the whole Facebook social media thing, I'm at facebook.com/KyleHebertVO.
That is awesome. And from us here at the Dude Wait What podcast, we'd like to thank you for coming on. We'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in, and we will catch you guys next week. Bye.
Later.